Hi, I'm faculty at New York Medical College School of Health Sciences and Practice. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Shi, who is also a biostatistician who helped me to conduct the data analysis, and also Dr. Nancy Kopra, who is the developer of the curriculum, and unfortunately couldn't be here. And again, I don't have any financial relationship to disclose. And this study actually is funded, supported by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Administration for Children and Families. And I'd like to acknowledge that the statement and opinions expressed here is thoroughly the authors do not necessarily represent the official views of the Department of the Authors Affiliated Institutions. And also, I appreciate the funding support. And I think we heard a lot today from previous presenters and saying that teen pregnancy is a very public health priority because the huge economic, social, and health costs on teen parents and their families. And in United States, about 4% of all teenager girls give birth every year, and teen births actually represents about 10% of 4 million births each year. So in other words, that one of 10 new mothers is a teen. So teen birth rates in the United States are about nine times higher than in most other developed countries. And then actually Hispanic and black teens girls are about 2 to 3 times more likely to give birth than white teen girls. So this is usually due to the contraceptive methods, multiple sexual partners, and early sex initiation. And also there is a variation by race and ethnicity across non-Hispanic, black, Hispanic, and followed by the non-Hispanic white women. So the consequences of a sexual risk behavior usually lead to poor health outcomes. Due to the premature birth, low birth weight babies, prenatal complication, and STD. And there is also social economic costs in terms of childbearing, single motherhood, poor school achievement, low education attainment, and also poor earning potential. And in fact, about 50% of a teen mom get a high school diploma by age 22, which is compared to 90% of teen girls who do not give birth. And also there is high medical costs associated with abortion, childbearing, STD, etc. So school-based health education policies in general is try to delay age of sexual initiation and reducing level of sexual activities, and then increasing contraceptive use. And in fact, sex-related health education is commonly taught in about 95% public school, and in general, there are two types of health education programs. One is contraceptive methods, another one focus on abstinence education. But there is a controversy issues between abstinence education and related to comprehensive approach. This more focused on what information should be presented to students. So the in school-based health education policy, in terms of prevention efforts, in general, they teach teens how to delay starting, you know, sex and steps they need to take if they become sexually active. So there is like sex education in teens, and there are also like previous presenter talk about support for parenting, communication, and also in terms of access to sexual or reproductive health services. And like I said before, there are two types of sex education. It depends on the state or local school district policies. And one focused on comprehensive sexuality education, which is also referred to risk reduction. Then another one focused on abstinence education, which is more risk avoidance. But there are controversy between these two types of sex education in terms of which one should be offered. And in 1998, actually Congress authorized evaluation because there are, in previous years, there are like more than 10 organizations received fundings which focus on absence education program, and then they reach out to these fund agencies and then try to conduct impact evaluations. Among them, and there are some not have human resources available, some programs not even existed. So there are four programs actually was reported in this paper published by Trenholm 2008 in Journal of Policy Analysis and Management. And this is actually multi-year evaluation on four absence-only education program. And then they intend to identify the teen pregnancy education program on adolescents' sexual activity and the risk of a pregnancy and STD. And these four curriculum as I listed here, and some of them actually focus on middle school grades, and some of them focus on upper elementary grades, and they are in general about 50 hours of intensive school lessons. Some of them focus on community, and the rest of two focus on community program. The funding actually suggested that the absence education program did not actually increase the risk of a teen pregnancy and STD, which is the commonly debate in policymaker, because they think that the absence education usually increase the risk of having unprotected sex. But the report shows that's not the case. So they among the funding also shows that there are some impacts on knowledge of STD and also perceived effective of a condom and birth control pills, which is they consider as a mediator behavior effect, which is also similar to our second presenter mentioned that. So the literature review actually provide us some gap in the literature, because there are really not enough evidence-based effective program that evaluate the absence education, which is in the short term and long term. And also they suggest that the absence education program should incorporate multi-components, which is, for example, sex behavior, alcohol, drug use, life planning, and then should collaborate with multiple network and provide youth with development focused activities. So in summary, the importance of evaluation on the school-based health education program should not only focus on absence education, but also should incorporate multi-components of youth development in teen pregnancies. And also we should also consider the mediator behavior effects in terms of knowledge, attitude, belief, and self-efficacy on risky sexual behavior. So here, Healthy Respect Youth Development Program, which was introduced in 2003 in New York, and the goal of this curriculum is to equip adolescents with knowledge and skill to delay sexual activity and preventing the risk of STD and infection. And the curriculum was developed based on the theories, including youth development model, the theory of plan behavior, social cognitive theory in all of its lessons, and also its parallel with New York State and the U.S. Department of Education guideline for health education program. And there are the curriculum consists of 8 units, including communication, human development, character development, sexuality, goal setting, relationships, sexual behavior, and the consequences of the having the sex, and also the media and social society effects. And basically we're taught in 45 minutes lessons, and that each unit actually includes video, group discussions, games, brainstorming, and also there are both individual and small group activities, and also focus on skill building exercise, including role play activities. And the design of the study basically is implemented in 5 high school and 7 middle school. We will use a quasi-experimental design because we repress in the control group, we repress intervention group, we repress their health curriculum, and in the control group, we keep the same as their curriculum. And then we implement this study for 5 semesters, which is about 2.5 years, starting from January 2006 to May 2008. And the instructor is 6 male and 5 female, and mean age of about 27 years old. There are 46% of them has master degree, and 45% have a bachelor degree. And also prior to their instruction, they receive 120 hours of training over a 5-week period, and in terms of the program delivery, class management, and some of the theories. And study participant includes the grades from 7 to 11, and which is in a low-income minority population from the middle school and high school in 3 urban areas in New York. And in the pretest, we include we reach out to 1,158 high school students, and intervention group is slightly older. The mean age is around 15, and then comparison group age is around 14. And in terms of the post-test, school some didn't complete the survey, and some the identification number couldn't match, and also there are survey there are duplicate numbers. So in the intervention group, we end up with 564 students, and comparison group includes 176 students. So here is a flowchart of the study participants from the survey, and to divide into control intervention group, and then and the sample analyzed using the 176 which completed the survey at control group to the 564 in the intervention groups. So the survey actually was not developed by us, as we adopted from evaluation solution, which is commonly used in evaluating a large absence education program, because based on the funding agency, that's part of a requirement. And also that the survey was able to address our the curriculum goals and criteria outlined in the community-based absence education grant. And then we collect data. We first send the consent to the parents, and then describe the nature of the research, the risk and the benefit of the participation, and the utilization of their data, and we ensure, of course, the confidentiality issue and the contact person for any concern. And students who were parents who were not were objected to participate, and we did not give out the survey. And so we there is a pre-test, and post-test was conducted right after the intervention. And then it was administered by the independent data collector to ensure the consistency of the data and enhance the effectiveness of the evaluation procedure. And also the survey was done in English and Spanish due to some kids are majority are Spanish speakers. And for the analytical framework, we derive from the behavior theories, which is we derive from the social cognitive theory in terms of knowledge of our pregnancy STD prevention. We also derive from the theory of written action in terms of their attitude toward the behavior and the consequence of having sex as unmarried teenagers. And also we derive the subjective known, which is what other people think if they are having regarding that specific risky behavior. And also we direct the perceived behavior control from theory of planned behavior. So for our majors, our dependent variable is asking adults, the students, if they have ever had sexual intercourse during the past 3 months at both pre-test and post-test, and the answer is dichotomized, which is yes and no. And in 10 independent variable, we actually group it into 4 big categories. The first category is knowledge of the consequence of a teenager having a pregnancy and STD transmission and pregnancy prevention. And in this category, we include 5 items to understand how they are able to answer it correctly. And the answer, we dichotomize them in terms of 1-0. The higher score means they're more knowledge toward that aspect. In terms of attitude related to sex, We actually including 15 items, and that asking students agreement or disagreement with those statements. In general, in terms of like sexual relationship make life difficult, or if whether they agree or disagree in terms of having sexual intercourse is a way to be popular, and having sexual intercourse is something only married people should do, and also having a good marriage is important to them, and then to the best way of young people to avoid unwanted pregnancy or sexual STD is to wait until they are married to have a sexual intercourse. And those are 3-point scale, and we sum the score, so the range will be from 0 to 45. And in terms of the consequence of having the sex as married teens, we included 10 items, and this is also 3-point scales, and we sum the 10 items to with the total score range from 0 to 30. And then in terms of the subjective norm, we asked, we had the scale of 0 to 2, which asked them how many of their friends think someone should wait until marriage before they're having a sex. In terms of perceived behavior control, we have 5 items that ask students if they have ability to reject of having sexual intercourse. And then this, we also sum the score with the score ranging from 0 to 5. And here is the statistical, this is a descriptive statistical analysis. As we can see, we have in gender, the intervention group has slightly more female than in comparison group, and then also in the intervention group tend to be older, and in terms of races, there are more African American and also Hispanic in the group, and then also a majority of like 32% of live with their parents. In terms of bivariate analysis, and the study shows that although there are no, there are in the comparison group, there are no statistically significant at the baseline, but the intervention group reduced actually because the intervention group actually more sexually active at the baseline, but after the post group, the intervention the difference is actually is not statistically significant. And in terms of knowledge, that we found out that after the intervention, the intervention group are likely to increase their knowledge toward pregnancy prevention. And also, these 4 categories shows that there are no difference at the baseline, but in terms of the attitudes and also the attitudes, there are statistically significant between pre-test and the post-test. And the conclusion confirmed that the program was actually was able to effective in improving knowledge, attitude, and belief toward delayed sexual activities, and also in order to the contribution of the study actually was able to we were able to gather the information and then which will help policy in, to conduct more you know for risk sexual activity around teenagers, and the analysis described here actually allow us to determine that whether or such investment are worthwhile, and also the data reported actually indicate these programs have the potential to help society to avert a number of public health costs associated with disease such as STD and among teenagers. And of course there is a limitation because this is self-reported data, there's possibility of a social, the answer is from social desirability answer, and also because due to the school design, this is a quasi-experimental design, and then there are some constraints due to that. And but despite a concerned effort to get parents to participate in the, we actually had 1/3 of parents' consent to follow, to give us consent to reach out their children. So unfortunately, hopefully the future study can be conducted to further identify the long-term impacts on this evaluation. Thank you.